Thank you. Minister, Senators, Ambassador, Mr. President, it's indeed a deep honor to address the Brazilian Senate today. I meant to speak on synergies between multilateral environmental agreements. I represent the Convention on Migratory Species, to which Brazil last year became the 122nd member. The CMS is one of two international wildlife conventions, the other being our sister agreement, CITES, on wildlife trade. And we at CMS work on conservation of wildlife that moves between international boundaries. We protect animals as diverse as monarch butterflies to African elephants, Mongolian gazelles to Amazon river dolphins, and polar bears to blue whales. The CMS is made up of seven separate agreements that cover species such as whales and dolphins, African Eurasian water birds, bats, albatrosses, and petrels. It has a number of also non-binding instruments on sharks, raptors, high Andean flamingos, dugongs, and marine turtles. The treaty is simple, and it works on an appendices system. If parties to the CMS agree that a species should be included on Appendix 1, then that species will have the strictest protection, and parties are required to put in place national measures that ensure that there is no taking of that species. If parties agree that the species should be listed on Appendix 2, then this requires that the countries put in place management systems to be able to sustainably use the animals and ensure their conservation. The CMS currently has about 1,500 species, and about 150 or 10% of the species are on Appendix 1. Because the CMS has so many instruments derived from it, it was one of the first of the biodiversity-related conventions to embark upon a synergies process and follow up the recommendations that are coming out of Rio Plus 20, the future we want, on paragraph 89, which has to do with synergies between multilateral environmental agreements, an important component of strengthening international environmental governance. The paragraph addresses an issue that has been of concern to the multilateral environmental community for several decades, and that's the sheer number of international instruments for the environment, which are estimated to be over 500, but with roughly 40 having the most routine relevance to most countries. The large number of agreements is a result of decades of international negotiations concerning environmental issues that emerged one by one as our scientific understanding of the issue strengthened, along with our knowledge that many environmental problems require international cooperation to solve. It was also the result of the nature of the international governance system that is a sprawling, decentralized system with many global actors and forums that have spawned agreements on a vast array of issues from chemicals and waste, land use, climate change, seas, and of course, biodiversity. Paragraph 89 seeks to address these issues by encouraging multilateral environmental agreements to cooperate more readily in order to promote policy coherence at all relevant levels, improve efficiency, reduce unnecessary overlap and duplication, and enhance coordination and cooperation among MEAs, including the three Rio conventions, as well as with the United Nations in the field. In practical terms, what is behind the paragraph is the need to try and reduce the burden on countries to follow the processes of these agreements, such as reducing reporting requirements, saving costs. For example, just 22 of the global MEAs cost about $80 million a year to administer, and trying to use these savings for strengthening activities to implement the agreements, such as capacity building, technical assistance, and projects to improve the environment, and also bring more coherence to international policymaking. After all, a more coherent a policy is internationally, it becomes much stronger as an international obligation. Since Rio, we have made, I would say, quite a bit of progress on synergies. The Biodiversity Liaison Group, for example, is a forum for seven biodiversity-related conventions that cooperate regularly. It has common positions, it uses joint notifications to countries, and it shares representations at international meetings and promotes joint programs amongst its members. Another very good example is the major biodiversity conventions have adopted the Aichi targets in their own strategic planning. The IAG targets were adopted by the Convention on Biological Diversity at COP10 and are meant to be comprehensive goals and targets for stopping biodiversity loss by 2020. The biodiversity-related conventions such as CMS, CITES, Ramsar, the World Heritage Convention have all adopted these as their own strategic plans. This means that major biodiversity conventions are working and cooperating around the same goals. Another powerful opportunity has emerged as the Sustainable Development Goals were adopted by the General Assembly, and some of these goals have been aligned with the targets and goals within the IAG targets. This means there's greater policy coherence internationally than we've ever had in the existence of these conventions. We must take advantage of this coherence to strengthen targets. Countries must look at their implementation and meet their international obligations through the lens of the IAG targets and the Sustainable Development Goals, and work through each of these conventions with these goals in mind. If we do, we can make tremendous progress towards stopping and halting biodiversity loss. I've worked on synergies for the better part of two decades, both as an international expert and also as the head of an international convention. At CMS, we just finished last year a process with the parties that has now seen agreement reached on internal synergies and common services with the convention's immediate family. And observing what has been done internationally on this subject, I asked the questions, what is next, and have the biodiversity agreements done as much as they can without embarking on deep institutional reforms, which may take many years to achieve in a multilateral setting. I would say there are still some gaps to be addressed, but these are gaps that should be addressed nationally rather than internationally, and by countries, not by secretariats. These include countries sponsoring joint projects, sponsoring joint secretary positions on common implementation and issues like capacity building, or on species or on habitats, or even in achieving the implementation of the IAG targets within the Sustainable Development Goals. Also, at the national level, reporting could do a much better job to store information in compatible formats so that the same pool of information can be collected from central reservoirs to feed MEA reporting and international monitoring. Also, using common national frameworks such as the National Biodiversity Strategies and Plans, which is an implementation of the CBD, should be viewed as being useful for all biodiversity-related conventions. The United Nations Development Frameworks, or the UNDAFs, if integrated with the MBSAPs, can also be a tremendous engine for bringing the full force of the UN behind implementing the environmental and biodiversity priorities nationally. All these tools exist, but they're organized, they're developed, and they're used separately. Well, they should be used synergistically. But to embark further in terms of reform will require profound change. And though it would do a great deal to correct the system that we've inherited, it would undoubtedly come about only after protracted and very difficult negotiations. The kind of reforms that I'm talking about are reforms such as co-locating MEA secretariats together so that they can share common services such as legal, capacity building, fundraising, or scientific advice. For example, several biodiversity conventions are very similar to the CBD and are cooperative and facilitative in nature. So conventions such as Ramsar and CMS could comfortably fit and share many common functions. Other conventions such as CITES are more regulatory and require different services, and so they may not be as much opportunity for sharing common services apart from all those services that MEAs generally require. Another possibility is to create a common institutional framework for biodiversity-related MEAs so that they're located in one place and that they share a common organizational structure and administration, for example, International Biodiversity Organization. These profound changes, though sounding very nice in theory, would require political will, which is rarely, I'm afraid, shown in terms of institutional matters at the multilateral level. There is also the risk that such negotiations could distract parties and secretariats from their main objectives of conservation and sustainable use of biodiversity. In conclusion, Honorable Senators, Minister, and colleagues from the international law community, we have come a long ways in achieving synergies among MEAs. There is still work to do, but the onus should no longer be on secretariats. It now must pass to governments too. They must look nationally how best they can create synergies in implementing the obligations of the conventions that they are members. They must think at their collective obligations instead of their narrow convention-specific responsibilities. Donors and donor countries must do the same and see how their support can implement objectives across multiple conventions. Likewise, countries requesting donor support must also request support by looking at how the projects can meet multiple goals. We have the tools. They already exist. And there is no need to wait for further negotiations, as this may not be very realistic. We need to refocus and stop thinking about synergies as a profound change and start thinking about achieving synergies practically and based on a system that we have already now. But that requires legislators and decision makers like yourselves to be aware that synergies are not mainly an international challenge, that the best chance to achieve what RioPlus20 envisioned in paragraph 89 is by national governments bringing more coherence at their levels towards achieving the now commonly linked and shared goals that we have amongst the biodiversity-related conventions. Thank you very much.
Nós que agradecemos a contribuição. Nós vamos passar agora para outro tema, que é Brasil e o meio ambiente. O Brasil e o meio ambiente. E aí, com a palavra, então, nosso embaixador José Antônio Marcondes Gadelha, do Ministério das Relações Exteriores do Brasil.
Muito obrigado, senador. Senhora ministra, senhor ministro Antônio Herman Benjamin, meus caros amigos e amigas. Eu vou tentar ser mais sintético do que eu pretendia, até porque eu acho que é importante não apenas poder ouvir vocês, como também podermos ouvir a nossa ministra Isabela Teixeira, que acaba de retornar da cerimônia de assinatura do Acordo de Paris em Nova York na semana passada. Mas eu queria dizer da enorme satisfação de encontrar com vocês e estar aqui no plenário desta casa participando de um encontro dessa magnitude e dessa importância. Eu tenho alguns pontos que eu gostaria de lançar, algumas ideias, alguns temas. Em primeiro lugar, mencionar o fato de que no ano de 2015, como vários já mencionaram aqui, a agenda internacional foi marcada pela conclusão de dois importantíssimos instrumentos, o Acordo de Paris e a Agenda 2030. Do lado do Brasil, nós preferimos pensar essa agenda não como uma agenda ambiental estrito senso. Nós preferimos pensar nesta agenda como uma agenda do desenvolvimento sustentável, mais do que negociações ambientais estrito senso. Um segundo ponto que eu gostaria de observar são uma posição histórica e uma posição reiterada que o Brasil vem defendendo em várias dessas negociações, e o Brasil tem se pautado pela defesa do binômio desenvolvimento sustentável e conservação do meio ambiente. Isso tem sido uma cláusula, uma posição que o Brasil vem defendendo, justamente para termos a condição de valorizar e o uso racional e sustentável dos nossos imensos recursos naturais aqui no Brasil e podermos justamente termos essa possibilidade. Um terceiro elemento que eu gostaria de mencionar agora nessa rápida intervenção é o fato de que nos últimos 20 anos, desde a Conferência do Rio de Janeiro, em 92, nós avançamos muito, os países, a comunidade internacional, avançou muito na construção de arcabouços jurídicos e internamente normativos nos seus próprios países. Eu não vou aqui citar uma lista enorme de acordos que foram assinados desde 92, é uma quantidade bastante considerável, vários desses pontos já foram citados. Um outro elemento que eu gostaria de mencionar aqui para a nossa reflexão é que nós vemos esse conjunto recente, desembocando no ano de 2015, nós vemos uma mudança de paradigma internacional, uma construção de um novo paradigma internacional de como serão as relações entre os países e como serão as relações da humanidade com o seu meio ambiente.